Turning your Bibles to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, as we continue, of course, our study of the Gospel of John. And John shows Jesus as the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior, and all who believe in Him have eternal life. You remember the little handout that we have for you. On one side is the outline of the Gospel of John. On the other side is the seven signs and the seven I Am statements. Remember, there are seven signs. In fact, John 20, verses 30 and 31 says, there are many other signs that Jesus did that are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing, you would have eternal life. So those seven signs written in the book show that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, and we've seen six of the seven signs. We've got one more to go, and that's in chapter 11. We're also seeing the seven I Am statements in which Jesus makes a statement by saying, I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the door of the sheep, I am the good shepherd. Each one of these is a statement saying that He's God Himself. And so we've seen three of those. This morning we'll actually see number four when He says, I am the good shepherd. So there's a lot there in this book. As we moved last week into chapter 10, we see one of the great passages in the Bible, one of the best loved passages, where Jesus declares that He's the shepherd of the sheep. We think of Jesus, we think of Him as our shepherd who loves us, who guides and protects us. In this chapter, we're seeing Jesus described in this way. We see Him as the true shepherd, the good shepherd, the shepherd who gives security or life, and then the shepherd who is God. It's a very powerful passage. This morning, the fourth of the seven I Am statements, and we're going to see how that fits together. He says, I am the good shepherd. He is God who is the good shepherd. What does He do? He lays down His life for the sheep. What all does that mean? How does it fit together? So as we begin, let me just raise a few questions for you to think about. Number one, what does the good shepherd do? Because He says, I lay down my life, but there's even more to that, and we'll see it as we go through. And then we say, what is a hireling? Now, in this passage in my Bible, the New American Standard, it says, a hired hand, a hireling. What is a hired hand, and what does He mean, and how is He using that? And then the third thing is, how does the crowd respond to Jesus, to what He says? And we'll see it as we go through. There's so much. Well, the word, the gospel. We know, what does it mean? People use the term all the time. They say, well, give them the gospel to make sure it's a clear gospel. Well, the word gospel comes from a Greek word, angelion, which literally means good news. It's the good news about Jesus Christ. That's what it is. What is the gospel? And simply put, you can find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. It says, for I delivered to you of first importance, which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture, that He was buried and raised again, or rose again on the third day according to the Scripture. So the gospel message, the good news message, is simply put that Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins and rose again on the third day. That's the gospel message. Now, what's the response? What do we want people to do? Well, simply put, we want people to believe. We want people to put their faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. 98 times in the Gospel of John, it says to believe, or faith, believe in Him for eternal life, have eternal life. And the bottom line is that throughout the Scripture, whoever believes in Jesus Christ has eternal life. Romans 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So the gospel is what saves us, Jesus Christ, dying and rising again, and faith in Him. This morning, we're seeing this good news message because Jesus Christ, as the good shepherd, says, I am the good shepherd who lays down my life and takes it up again. He talks about the death and the resurrection of the shepherd. And we'll see that because the death of Christ is the payment for our sins. The resurrection of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, conquered death. And so this morning, we see Jesus as the good shepherd who dies and rises again. Just to remind you of where we are, just to think, Jesus is in Jerusalem. Most of His ministry was done in the northern part of Israel. He is now in the southern part of Israel. We're about 4 months before Jesus, time-wise in the book, goes to the cross. In fact, when we get into verse 22, we're going to find that it's the Feast of Dedication. That meant it was Hanukkah. It was in the wintertime. So it's only about 3 or 4 more months after that before Jesus Christ goes to the cross. He has just healed this man who was born blind, who'd never been able to see. He did that on the Sabbath day. The religious leaders got all upset. Instead of being excited that this guy could see, they were mad that Jesus did a miracle on the Sabbath day. They say He broke the Sabbath, which He didn't, of course. And the crowd is all gathered around, and people, they're arguing back and forth, and Jesus is talking about the man being born blind and all of these kind of things. And right in the midst of all this, Jesus begins to talk about being the shepherd. And it's powerful because he's given a contrast. Now, I've talked to you about this, that just picture this. Here's Jesus. Here's the religious leader. Sometimes in the past, it's called the Jews. Then there's the people, and they're all gathered around. They love it when Jesus gets on the religious leaders. Well, in this passage, Jesus has basically said that the religious leaders were thieves and robbers, because he said it last week, how that a false shepherd climbs up over and steals the sheep. Jesus is the true shepherd. They're the false shepherds. He's looked at them and said, you're thieves and robbers. And then he said, I'm the door of the sheepfold. He said, I'm the way. And the way to have life. Well, all the people who are listening to this morning, he's going to look at the religious leaders and he's going to say, I'm the good shepherd. And he's going to say, you're just hired hands. You don't care anything about the sheep. I've come to die for the sheep. And that's what we're going to see as we see this passage. In the entire chapter, of course, this discourse in chapter 10, Jesus is the shepherd. He's described as the true shepherd, the good shepherd, the shepherd who gives life and security, the shepherd who is God. Let me break the passage down for you. This is the whole chapter. We saw verses 1 through 10 last week when he was called the true shepherd, and he's the provision, the way of salvation, and all of that. Then this morning in verses 11 through 21, he's the good shepherd, and the gift is his life. He's going to lay down his life for the sheep. Then next time, we're going to see verses 22 through 30, which is a very famous passage because in verse 28, he says, I give eternal life and they shall never perish. He is the shepherd who gives life and security. And then finally, at the end of the passage, in verse 31 through 42, he talks about the fact that he's God, and they get so mad. In fact, they get ready to try to kill him again because he's claiming to be God, and they know what he's saying, and it makes them very angry. Last time, he said, I'm the true shepherd. Contrast between religious leaders who were false shepherds and Jesus, who is the true shepherd. And he said that he was the way of salvation and security and satisfaction. This morning, he's the good shepherd who dies and rises again. Now, let me just tell you, think about this. The good news message is Jesus died and rose again and gives eternal life to all who believes. In this passage, he's going to say, I'm the good shepherd who lays down my life for the sheep and takes it up again. So it's really powerful. As we begin, think about the term, I am the good shepherd. Because when you think about that, he calls himself God as the good shepherd. And that there's a contrast between the good shepherd and, I think the next slide says that, it's a contrast between the good shepherd and the hirelings, which are the hired hands. Because he's going to say, I'm the good shepherd. You just do it for the money. I do it because I love them. You run away, I give my life. It's very, very powerful. Last week, we talked a little bit about the shepherd and the sheep. We talked about how there were different things that they did when they were in a city. There were different things that they did when they were out in the country as far as taking care of the sheep. We said that the Bible uses a lot of times the analogy, the picture that Jesus Christ or that God is our shepherd. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In John 20:27, he said, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me, and I give eternal life to them. In this passage, he says, I am the good shepherd. So it's very powerful. In fact, he's the true shepherd, the good shepherd, the shepherd of the sheep. This morning, I want to show you how we'll break the passage down just to get some details for you. He is the good shepherd. He lays down his life in verses 11 through 16. We'll see some details. Then he talks about his death and resurrection, which is the key, I think, of the whole passage. And then we see how the people respond in verses 19 through 21. Now, last time Jesus said, I'm the true shepherd. You're the false shepherds because you steal. I'm the true shepherd because I take care of my sheep. Look at verse 9, which I think is one of the keys in this whole passage. Look what he says. I am the door. That was the third of the seven I am statements. He said, I am the door of the sheep. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. With Jesus Christ, there is satisfaction, there is salvation, and there is security. Notice what he says. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved. He is the way of eternal life. He goes on to say that you will go in and go out and find pasture. That is the idea of security, and that's what he gives. And then when it says that he comes that they might have life and have it abundantly, he is the way of satisfaction. So he is the way to have eternal life. He is the one that keeps us saved and secure. He is the one that gives abundant life. That's what we saw last time. Now, this morning, he says, I'm the good shepherd. Now, I think when you think about how the Bible describes us, it describes us in so many ways. A lot of them aren't very good, you know, because we're bad, right? We're fallen. But one of the ways he says, all we like sheep have gone astray. each one our own way. But what we have is the Good Shepherd who comes and dies for the sheep. He dies for us. You never want to forget that the story of the Bible is how the perfect God brings sinful man back to himself using his Son, Jesus Christ. And he used his Son, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who comes to die for us, to pay for our sins, and rise again. Jesus is the Savior. And we'll see it as we go through. He's the Good Shepherd. Let's look how he says it. Look at verse 11. He says, I'm the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. This is the fourth of the seven I am statements. He says, I'm the bread of life. He's the if you eat him, you have eternal life. He says, I'm the light of the world. I show the way of salvation. He says, I'm the door of the sheepfold. He's the way to have life. And now he says, I am the Good Shepherd. And you know that whenever Jesus says, like, I am the bread of life, or I am the good shepherd, or I am the way, the truth, and the life, or I am the resurrection and life, when he says, I am, that's the title for the name of God. So when he says, I am the good shepherd, I'm going to show you something more in a minute, but when he says, I am, he's saying, I'm God who's the good shepherd. If you remember back, and we've talked about this over and over, but when Moses was at the burning bush, and God told Moses to go back to Egypt and tell the Jews that he was going to lead them out, Moses said, who do I say sent me? God said, I am who I am. Tell them I am sent me. Or sent you. And so he's the I am, and that's who he is. And so when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the resurrection of life, I am the way, the truth, and life, I am the door of the sheepfold, I am the good shepherd, I am the true vine, all of those are Jesus saying he's God. They knew it. Made them very mad. We're going to see what they'll do at the end of the passage. So I am is the name for God. In John chapter 10, he's shown to be the shepherd. Let me show you something I really love. Look at this. In John 10, he's the good shepherd who dies for the sheep. In Hebrews 13, he's the great shepherd who gives life. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, he's the chief shepherd who rewards. So think about who he is. He's the good shepherd who dies for the sheep. He's the chief shepherd who gives life. Excuse me, the great shepherd who gives life and the chief shepherd who gives rewards. Now watch what he says. I am the good shepherd. Now we've already seen the I am as the name for God. But he said, I'm the good shepherd. Now the word good here is a little bit unusual. The Greek word has an idea of good on the inside. The truth is, none of us are good. There's none good. There's none righteous. No, not one. There's no man good. And when he says, I am the good shepherd, he is really saying, I'm God. Do you remember when the rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, good teacher, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus looked at him and said, why do you call me good? There's only one good, and that is God. So when he says, I'm the good shepherd, he's claiming to be God even there, because there's only one good, and that is God. Now notice what he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Good shepherd dies for the sheep. Now, I want to show you a contrast. In the Old Testament, the sheep died for the shepherd because they used them for sacrifices. But in the New Testament, the shepherd dies for the sheep. He dies for each one of us. It is a voluntary life. He lays down his life. Now, I want to show you something unique. Notice where it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That word for in Greek is the word huper. And it has two different kind of meanings, and it's both of them are used in this passage. The word for can mean in place of. It means substitution. He actually says, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life in place of the sheep. He is our substitute. He died for us. He died in our place. As F.B. Meyer once said, he said he died for the sinner's death. He was the sin offering for us. He stood as our substitute. That's what he did. He died for us. God demonstrates his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God hath made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Over and over we see that. He died as our substitute. But the word for also means for the benefit of. And this means that he was the sacrifice. Not only was he our substitute, but he was the sacrifice. He was the satisfactory payment. 1 Peter 3:18, Christ died for our sins once for all, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. You understand? That is amazing. That when he says, I'm the good shepherd lays down his life for, in substitution of the sheep, for the benefit of the sheep. He is our substitute. and He is our sacrifice. And when Jesus Christ died on the cross 2,000 years ago, He died in your place, in my place. Because all we like sheep have gone astray, each one our own way, but the Lord hath laid on Him all of our sins. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, as 1 Peter 2:24 says, He bore in His body our sins when He was on the cross. He was our substitute and our sacrifice when He died on the cross for us. Understand, He says, I'm the good shepherd. And the good shepherd dies for the sheep. The good shepherd is the substitute for the sheep. The good shepherd is the sacrifice for the sheep. Now, from that, and that's powerful, he's in the crowd, and he says, I'm the good shepherd, I die for the sheep. And then he's going to make a contrast, because he's going to look most likely right at those religious leaders, and he's going to show the contrast between the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep and the hirelings or the hired hands. Look what he says about them, verse 12. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, he sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees. Why? Because he's a hired hand and he's not concerned about the sheep. Now what Jesus does is he looks right at the religious leaders and said, there's a hired hand out there and they don't care anything about the sheep. In fact, when something comes bad, they run away from the sheep because they don't care anything about the sheep. They only do it for the money. And the truth is this, those religious leaders, the only reason they wanted to be in places of leadership was not to serve and not to help the people. It was to have places of responsibility so they would have benefit. They would walk through the streets where people would call out their names, and they had these positions of leadership that they wanted. And so they only cared. See, the good shepherd dies for the sheep, but the hirelings, the hired hands, run away. They run away. Listen, it's not necessarily that they were evil people. They were just selfish people. They only cared about themselves. They didn't care about the people. In fact, they thought the people were stupid. There are several times when the people that are following Jesus and the religious leaders say, those stupid people following that man. They didn't care about the people. They only cared about their power. Listen to this. This is in John chapter 11. You don't have to turn there. But verse 48, here's what they're going to say. Here's what they're saying. If we let him go on like this, all men will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away our place. They were afraid that if people began to believe in Jesus, the Romans would come in and remove them from their positions. They didn't care about the sheep. They were hired hands. They wanted the money. They wanted the power. So Jesus looks right at them and says, listen, what you are is hired hands, and you're not the owner of the sheep. And when the wolf comes, you run away. You run away because you don't care. You're just a hired hand. And then he comes back to himself, and look what he says in verse 14. I'm the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. As the Father knows me, and I know the Father. He says, listen, I want you to understand, there is a relationship between the sheep and the shepherd. He says, I'm the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. See, there's a relationship between the sheep and the shepherd. He said, I know my sheep. Listen, you know your Heavenly Father, and you know that your Savior, Jesus Christ, knows you in an unconditional, everlasting way. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows everything about you. He created you. He says, I know my sheep. And they know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. Listen, He has an eternal relationship with the Father. Guess what? He has an eternal relationship with us. That's why He says, I give you what? Eternal life, and you'll never perish. What a unity and fellowship, not only with the Father to the Son, but the shepherd to the sheep. Notice how He ends this verse. Even as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I do what? I lay down my life for the sheep. That is the plan. God loved the world, us, that He gave His Son, Jesus, to leave the glories of heaven, become a person, die on the cross, pay for our sin, lay down His life for us. It's powerful. That whoever believes will never perish but have eternal life. God did not send His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to condemn the world, but the world would be saved through Him. Now, He's going to show something that some people get confused about. Look at the next verse. He says, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with the shepherd. Who could He be talking about? Who are the other sheep? The other sheep of the Gentiles. I want you to understand something. If you read carefully Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, put them all together, read the Gospels together, you will find that Jesus Christ came And he came, offered himself as the King of the Jews, the King of Israel, and the Messiah and the Savior. He offered himself as the Messiah and Savior to Israel. There are times in the Bible that he actually says, I am sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So when Jesus came, he offered himself to the Jews. The Jewish people as a whole rejected him. He says here, I have other sheep who are not of this fold. I will bring them. They will hear my voice and will become one flock. Who is he talking about? He's talking about the Gentiles. That's us, the Jews and the Gentiles together into one flock, which is called the church, the body of Christ. You remember how he said, I have been sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel? After his death and resurrection, he says in Matthew 28, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, not just Jews. He says, I've got sheep that are Jews. I've got sheep that are Gentiles. I'm going to bring them together in one flock. That one flock is what we call the church, the body of Christ. Jew and Gentile together, when we believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, if you're a Jewish person, you're in the church. If you're a Gentile person, you're in the church, the body of Christ. He's the good shepherd who has the big flock. And look what he says. And we're going to see his death again. He says, for this reason the Father loves me. Why? Because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. This is the shepherd and the plan, his death and resurrection. That's what he's going to do. He says, I lay down my life that I take it again. He lays it down. The next slide, I think, says this. He lays it down. That's his death. He takes it up again. That's his resurrection. You understand that Jesus came to die and rise again. If you want to tell people the good news is not Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for your sins. That's half the good news. The good news is that Christ died on the cross to pay for your sins and rose again on the third day. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. His plan is to die and to rise again. That's the plan. Now, I want you to understand something. Jesus Christ comes to the earth twice. He comes in the clouds once. That's called the rapture and will be taken off the face of the earth. But he comes to the earth twice. The first time he came to the earth, he was born in Bethlehem. He came to die on the cross to pay for sin. The second time he comes as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Revelation 19:11. He is talking here about his first coming, how he's coming to die and to rise again. That's his first coming. He will come again a second time to the earth as the King. Look what he says, and we're going to go very quickly through this last part. In verse 18, he says, listen, last part of 17 says, I lay down my life and I take it up again. Listen, no one has taken it away from me. I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. He says, listen, I want you to understand something. I have the authority, the right to lay down my life. I'm going to die. I have the authority to take it up again. I'm going to rise. Listen, when they came and got Jesus, he wasn't scraping and pushing and fighting to stop it. He'd already told them, I'm going to lay down my life. They could do nothing to Jesus. Listen, they couldn't arrest him until he allowed them to arrest him. They couldn't put him on the cross till he allowed them to put him on the cross. When he was talking to Pilate, and Pilate saying, tell me who you are, tell me who you are. And Jesus wasn't talking to him. And Pilate says, hey, don't you know I have the right to put you to death or let you go? And Jesus said, you have no right except what's been given to you from above. Jesus is in control. Always in control. He's the one that lays down his life. He's the one that takes it up again. You know who died on the cross? Jesus died on the cross. Jesus gave up his life. They didn't kill him. And who raised Jesus from the dead? Jesus raised himself from the dead. He says, I lay down my life. I take up my life. It's a powerful truth. Now, what we've seen in this little section so far is a great contrast. But two things. First of all, a contrast between the religious leaders and Jesus. The religious leaders are hired hands that care nothing about the people. Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life. He lays it down and takes it back up again. There's a second thing in this, and we see the authority that he proclaims, his authority to die and rise again. You understand that over and over, and you'll see it, and maybe a little bit later in the Gospel of John, but in the Gospel of Matthew, five times Jesus says, I'm going to Jerusalem, I will die and rise again. And the guys went, what did he say? What did he say? I don't know. What did he say? They didn't get it. Five times he told them, I'm going to die and rise again. Die and rise again. Die and rise again. You'd think they would have got it. Right? He died on the cross, paid for sin, and what did they do? They put him in the grave, and they went, boy, it's over. Well, it's so sad. That's so sad. We thought he was the right one. They went out to the tomb. Mary came running back and said, he's not in the tomb. You've lost your mind. We're going to go show. We're going to go out there. They went out there. He wasn't there. He died and rose again. That's what he said. Now, I want to show you, and very quickly, What was the response by the people? And here's what it is. It's division. Notice. A division occurred again among the Jews because of these words. Now, when it says the Jews, I think it's talking about religious leaders, because that's usually a term used for religious leaders. We're going to see that the religious leaders begin to argue over who Jesus, who they thought he was, because of what happened. Look what some of them said this. Many of them were saying, he has a demon and is insane. Why do you listen to him? He's crazy. He thinks he's God. He's crazy. But others were saying, no, no, no. These are not the sayings of a demon-possessed person. A demon cannot open the eyes of the blind, can he? Demons don't do that. And so there's a division, because some people are saying, I think he's crazy. And some are saying, we don't know what to think. How could he do this? A demon can't do this. Whenever the message of Jesus Christ is proclaimed, there will always be division. Some will believe, some will not. Jesus declares that he is the good shepherd who dies and rises for the sheep. What have we seen? He's the good shepherd, contrast to the religious leaders who are just hired hands. He's the one that dies, our substitute and sacrifice. He says there's two flocks he's going to bring together. He has the authority to lay down his life and the authority to take it back up again. And there's division because some reject him and some maybe believe in him. Let me give you the applications quickly. And first of all, realize that Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. That's who he is. Now think about it. He's the good shepherd, which means he's God who is the shepherd. He is the one who dies for us. There are false shepherds. There are people who do things for the money, but he loves us and he died for us. Charles Colson, in an article in Christianity Today called A Dangerous Grace, he says this: when God wanted to defeat sin, his ultimate weapon was the sacrifice of his own son. The Lord is my shepherd. He died for me and he rose again. And he gives me eternal life. And he'll never leave me or forsake me. And he takes care of me every day. The Lord is the good shepherd. The second thing is to remember that, realize that the good shepherd dies and rises again for the sheep. He's the substitute and the sacrifice. He died for us. He died on behalf of us. He is the substitute so we don't have to die. He dies for us. He's the sacrifice to pay the penalty of sin. He paid a price we can't pay. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. We can't pay that. Jesus died for us, and he offers us eternal life as a gift. I hope you understand that. That salvation is not by being good or going to church or anything like that. It is simply faith in Christ. Jesus died on the cross and paid for sin and rose again, and he offers the gift of eternal life. It's a gift. You can't do anything for it. If you do anything for it, it's not a gift. He offers the gift of eternal life simply by faith. The third thing is expect this. Expect division when you proclaim Christ as Savior. When you go out these doors and you stand for the truth and you tell people that there is one God and one Savior, Jesus Christ, that he died and rose again, that he gives the gift of eternal life simply by faith, when you stand for that, there will be division. There will be people who will believe. There will be people who will not believe. There will be people who will be against you. But remember, he is bringing together one body, Jews and Gentiles, into the church simply by faith. May we see Jesus Christ as the Son of God. May we see Jesus Christ as the good shepherd who died and rose again for us, giving eternal life to all who believe. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a passage. Thank you for the great truths that are there. Lord, we realize that Jesus is the good shepherd. He is the one who has come and to die for us, to be the substitute and the sacrifice, the one to pay for our sins and to give eternal life as a gift. Thank you, Lord, for that. Lord, we should expect that when we proclaim Jesus Christ and him alone as Savior, there will be division. Lord, may we proclaim clearly the good news message, the gospel, the death and resurrection of the good shepherd, and that all who believe in him will have eternal life. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.